A lot of people involved in space travel have been depressed the last few years about the lack of public and government support for manned space travel. But a number of smaller enterprises and big thinkers like Stephen Hawking want to work around NASA and figure out how, if ever, we'll get to other solar systems. We sent Anne Hepperman to see if they're making any progress.
Talking about building a spaceship that goes to the stars makes you sound like a bit of a nut job. Unless you're a former astronaut, like Dr. Mae Jemison. Then you're allowed to ask,
how in the hell do you get to another star system?
3, 2, 1, and liftoff.
And this is a very real question for Dr. Mae Jemison. She heads up 100-Year Starship. It's an independent organization whose mission is to figure out how to get to Alpha Centauri, our closest star, by 2114.
That time frame is reasonable. Why? Because if you said 10 years, you say, nah, that's not long enough. We know that's not long enough. If you said 500 years, people say, you know, I can kick back for another, you know, 200 to 300 years because I don't have to worry about it. But a 100 years is close enough in terms of a time frame that we can sort of see it.
And there are hurdles when it comes to interstellar travel, like the fact that space is just so damn big.
Just making the jump from interplanetary to interstellar or transgalactic is about as much as my mind could wrap around now.
Mark Millis is the head of the Tau Zero Foundation, another interstellar organization. Millis worked at NASA for 30 years as a physicist and aerospace engineer.
If you're traveling with the technology that we can already conceive, like, say, the Voyager spacecraft.
10 seconds to SRB jet.
It's going to take about 80,000 years to travel a distance to our nearest neighboring star. And it is going 0.00006 times the speed of light.
Vehicle is now traveling at 4,900 miles per hour.
And Voyager is the fastest thing that we've got. Current spacecraft relies on fueled rockets to get them from point A to point B. Nuclear rockets, that's fission and fusion, are tricky because no one wants to risk one of them blowing up during liftoff. So Millis says, we need to figure out a way to get to the stars without rockets. Space drives is what he calls them.
Don't trap yourselves in. I'm going to make a jump to light speed.
He gave a talk last year at the Icarus Interstellar Starship Conference. It's called From Sci-Fi to Sci-Method, a Case Study in Space Drives.
So I'm first going to play with some notions, you know, the kind of questions you would ask if watching science fiction. And for example, here we have Luke's land speeder, which is somehow magically levitating.
Millis so believes that science fiction can be upgraded to scientific inquiry.
And two, what would happen as it's cruising along if there's objects in the way?
Well, clearly, he's not interested in how to build Luke's land speeder. He wants to put himself in the imaginary space where a land speeder can exist.
When it was parked, it did not move. So whatever magic was levitating it also had the ability to keep it in place laterally, which would mean that it would have the power to move it laterally. So, okay, so you have some sort of magic that can change its speed.
Some sort of magic. That's how far scientists are willing to go in trying to imagine what's possible. Because we'll never reach the stars without magic. In other words, a breakthrough in physics that we absolutely can't see coming.
Howdy, Anne.
Who is that?
German accent, you want?
James and Gregory Benford are the head of another interstellar organization, Starship Century. You're both physicists, right?
Right.
And they're also identical twins. James is president of a company that does microwave research. Gregory is an astrophysicist at UC Irvine and a renowned sci-fi author. The Benford brothers are optimists. Gregory likes to point out how much we sometimes underestimate the pace of change.
Famously, Thomas Jefferson said in 1812 that it will take 1,000 years for the Republic to reach the ocean, meaning the Pacific. And he never envisioned that in 57 years, a train would run all the way to San Francisco.
The Benford brothers say they've figured out a way to get us to the stars in 100 years. Beam sails. Beam sails are sort of like regular sails, but without wind.
Envision it as a giant umbrella, maybe 100 or meters across.
And you push it using microwave beams.
And therefore, you can push it to very high speeds. And that is the core idea.
And James says, these sails come right out of science fiction.
Roche World, written by Robert Forward back in the 80s, based on a very solid scientific concept for a starship, which we actually know how to build.
Robert Forward was a physicist and aerospace engineer. His book, Roche World, contained detailed descriptions of beam sails that the Benford brothers used as inspiration for their breakthrough experiment in 2001. Their goal was to make a beam sail fly. Gregory remembers setting up the experiment and then almost missing the breakthrough.
We saw it in one frame just lifting off, and then the next frame it was gone. It had, in fact, literally stuck itself to the ceiling of the container.
They were ecstatic.
Because it was the first time anyone had lifted an object against gravity with just electromagnetic power.
I went outside the building and dialed up Bob Forward on my cell phone and told him we'd done it. He only lived another year or two, but he saw it become real.
The Benfords are really optimistic about this. But so far, beam sails have only been tested in the lab. There's a lot of experiments to be done, on Earth and in space, before we know if they can power a starship. Even Mae Jemison, the astronaut who runs 100-year Starship, admits that the 100-year estimate is kind of a tease.
We're not going to launch anything in 100 years, but there needed to be a time frame that was reasonable to expect that you might make some of these capabilities exist.
But Jemison is confident that one day we will have manned interstellar travel. So we'll have to figure out more than just the physics.
That is culture. Human behavior is going to be a part of literally what culture do you take with you? What is your identity?
When NASA launched Voyager in 1977, it included the Golden Record, a time capsule of sounds from Earth. But what happens when you send a group of people across galaxies to stand in for all of us?
If you're going to send a group of people away for a very, very long time and may not come back, then we have to understand what completes us as humans.
Getting a starship to Alpha Centauri seems like a fantasy. But 100 years ago, we were just getting airplanes right. The 22nd century is a long way from now.
And I don't think I'll live to see it, but my grandchildren will.
You know, Thomas Jefferson didn't get to see California either.
For Studio 360, I'm Ann Hepperman.
Do you want to see the starships of the future? Of course you do. We've got some artist renderings at studio360.org.